welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to another dual broadcast of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast and everything church-related. And since we're doing a dual broadcast, you know we got something special lined up today. Today I want to introduce you to a woman who is out to make a difference in this world, a woman who knows what she wants and is out to change what people often perceive as unchangeable. And she does it with a passion. Amen. Henneke Watkins Porter is a serial entrepreneur, an author, a fashion designer, a speaker, a podcaster from Jamaica, and she lives there with her husband, Adolf. Her journey is a testament to the power of self-belief, determination, resilience, and to the miraculous wonders of God. Amen. Raised in the rural parish of Jamaica and St. Mary by grandparents, she was born to a teenage mother and an absentee father. Prior to her birth, her maternal grandmother would often utter piercing and destructive words to her mother, cursing her while she was in her mother's womb. Now, we're going to talk about that, but she's also the author of 3 books, 15 Hints to Entrepreneur Success, Motivate, Inspire, Provoke, and the book which we'll discuss today, a 52-week devotional of quiet meditation. Welcome to the program, Henneke Watkins Porter. Henneke, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and privilege for me to be here, Pastor.
Oh, we appreciate it. And you're coming from all the way from the beautiful islands of Jamaica. Amen.
Yemen, all the way from yard.
You did it again. Glory to God. She did that when we were talking off air. It just got me cracking up. Amen. Other than that brief bio, Henneke, please tell us, who is Henneke Watkins Porter?
Henneke is mission-driven, purpose-driven, someone who lives a life of life transformation through inspiration. I believe that is my purpose. Mm. I believe with all my heart that with all the things that I have gone through in my life, you know, you read some of them in my bio, in the introduction, you know, it's amazing that what God has done in my life and who I am today. Yes, still very imperfect, but I know in the eyes of God, He continues to mold me each day so that I can be who He wants me to be. As stubborn as I am sometimes, but He's working on me.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, you know, it sounds to me like your childhood may not have been something that would make you want to live it all over again. I mean, what was it like to grow up in an environment like that?
Well, you know, when I look back now, and I often quote one of my favorite scriptures, which is, all things work together for good for they that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Now, going through those situations as a child, and I'll get into them, some of them, it's, you don't see it as good, and you don't see a moment of or a glimmer of hope, or, you know, or even having the feeling that I am today. But when I look back, I recognize that they served a great purpose. And, you know, my teenage mom, she didn't understand what it required to be a mom. Yeah. And so I never had her in my life. You know, I mean, we're close now, thank God. Amen. But I never had her in my life. And you know, she just was bewildered, not knowing what to do, being a teenager herself, how to raise a child. Yeah. No, my father was never around. I met him when I was 11 years old. Mm. And it was the most embarrassing circumstance. I remember we were having what you call, you know, a Sunday school treat that we have every year. Mm-hmm. And so all the children, all the kids were gathered in the hall, the church hall, and the teacher went to the door because somebody approached the door, and everybody sat there gazing as to who is this person. Yeah. And for her to have come back and said to me, "Oh, that's your father." You know what I mean? When I was also wondering, who is this person? So I met him for the first time at 11 years old. Wow. I attempted suicide. There were abuse. There were, you know, sexual abuse and all of those things. But, you know, I look back and I know that they have made me stronger. Who I am today, they've made me really stronger. So I don't, although I wouldn't want to experience again, experience them again naturally, but I see them as having their own purpose in my life.
Now, you said that you were raised by your grandparents. Was it the same grandmother who was speaking curses over you?
So no, this grandmother was actually, she was actually adopted grandmother, because okay. when my mom became pregnant, she says, you know, if it's a girl, then certainly I would want to have this baby. And so as it was, I was a girl. So no, it was my actual mother's mom, my maternal grandmother, who actually said those things. And then I recognized, as I grew up past, I recognized that hurting people do hurt people. So I look back and I forgive everybody.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, what was the turning point, I guess you could say, in your life? You know, that moment when you realized that something needed to change.
Mm-hmm. For me, well, there's so many different points that I can actually pinpoint as turning point. But in my adult life, I remember in 2010 to be specific, and that's when I came back to God, because I witnessed a friend die, and that was the most traumatic time of my life. Mm. It was very traumatic for me, and I knew right there and then that it was even a pruning process that I needed to get back, because you know we can have our stubborn will at times, right, as humans. I needed to get back into that close relationship with God, and so it was, you know, that I went through that moment of pruning. But even in terms of my whole, you know, outside of that, when I reflect on how I grew up and the circumstance with which my family went through, you know, not even having a close-knit family, but all the struggles that I observed my grandparents went through. And I know my mom, she would have had go through depression and all of those things. I knew somehow there was something in me that knew that there was a different life to be lived. I mean, life was not just that. And so from 2010, I remember it was happening before, but since that time, it's as if it's a rude awakening came, and it was a moment of truth when I know that my life had to be focused and purpose-driven, and I was not placed on this earth to be a mere statistic, but to make a difference.
Okay, so when did you come to the Lord in all this?
So I first got baptized in 2000, no, let me not say, I don't even remember the year, but I was 16 years old. Okay. And I'm 39 years old now. I'm not one of those women who don't mind, you know, mind sharing age. I'm 39 years old. So my first baptism was in 2000, well, that year when I was 16. Mm-hmm. But I came back to God 7 years ago, like really got connected, really recognizing and understanding, because I didn't understand even when I did that at 16 years old.
Yeah.
I didn't quite have a grasp what it means to have a relationship with God. I thought you just, you know, as the older folks would say, you wear certain clothes and you do certain things. And yes, and you know what I mean? I just thought that was what it was about. But as I grew older, and when I'm now into that relationship, I recognize that it is a relationship, just as how I am married and I have this relationship with my husband, just as how I have friends and I communicate and I commune. And there are days when we have bad days and there are days when we have good days. It's just about understanding who I am. And it's not about anything good that I will do or can do. It's not about anything. I mean, yes, the faith without works is dead, but it's not about what I can do, because those words on the cross, it is finished. That meant for me, right, that I am everything I am. I am God's perfect perfection right now,
right,
even in spite of my imperfection.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So what do you mean when you say living with a purpose?
For me, it's not getting up. You know, in 2000, again, I can share the story as in our pre-interview talk. You were telling me about your story.
Yeah.
No, I started my business in 2007, and it was in 2011, because I recognized that there was something. I didn't enjoy just getting up, going to a 9-to-5, and I gave thanks. I gave thanks that I had a job, but I was not comfortable. There was something in me that was very restless about getting up, going to a 9-to-5 that was not fulfilling for me. And I started the business in 2007. And as I grew in love with the business and what I was doing, I fell more out of love with my 9-to-5. And I recall praying and fasting and seeking counsel in terms of deciding, should I quit this job and go on? Because by this time, I was getting traction. I was getting the support. I was getting media attention and everything. And it started well. And so I knew deep inside that, you know, there was more to give. I had to have time to volunteer. I have to have time to travel. I just need, there are things that I needed to do. And so as I contemplated and I got the response, I remember one particular day, as if every time I prayed, I would get a response, go ahead and do what you want to do, because the Lord is with you. But one particular and it was a series of events leading up to that. But one particular day I was at work, I was going to work, having this conversation with God as I was with somebody in my car, as I was with myself. It was like a moment where I was really angry and frustrated. And I'm saying, God, I'm grateful that I have a job, but this is not it. You know, it has to be more. There has to be more to life. And I remember sitting down that morning when I get to my desk, I subscribed to Rick Warren Devotional Purpose Driven Life. And when because I went praying in a little room that we had at work, and I came out and I sat down on my desk, turned on the computer, I was about to prepare to, you know, to get the start of the day's work. And as I opened the mail, the subscription mail from Rick, it says, obeying God involves taking risks. I'm like, okay then. All right. This is interesting. So I read further, and it was what I read inside got me all teared up, choked up, everything. And it says, even if it means quitting your job.
Yeah, amen.
I kid you not. And then I was there, and I really got overwhelmed at this point. And as I got overwhelmed, I was getting up to go back into that little room to have a little more quiet time. Mm-hmm. And a coworker in a cubicle next to mine, she heard me around there, and she said, "Oh my gosh, Anika, you're here. I saw you in a vision this morning, you know." And in the vision, I was saying, what are you going to be doing when you're not here, but you're actually out doing your business like you're doing now and so on?" I'm like, okay. So you're seeing me in a vision while all of this is happening. So something, and so some series of events happen after that. And I recognize that my purpose, like I love to say, that my business is not an end in itself, mm-hmm. but it is a means to an end.
Amen. That's
because right. It has given me the platform to express, to share my story, to give people hope, because I have heard some stories. And the thing about what I've gone through, and so I know it's all purposeful, what I've gone through, I've been able to detect and discern when other persons are going through what I've been through. And I can relate and I can minister to those persons because I have that experience. And so that's what I talk about when I talk about living on purpose, because I know that my life, I'm not just a statistic. I was wonderfully and fearfully made in the image and likeness of God to serve Him, and by serving Him, do the thing that I was called to do. Not everybody's going to be an entrepreneur.
Right.
Some persons are called to minister directly in the sense of the word, you know, be a pastor or, you know, missionaries and so on. But we are all called for a particular purpose.
Now, the business you're talking about is the fashion business, correct?
Correct. Patois Apparel. And that's you. You hear me with my Yeman, right?
Yeman. Yeah.
Yeman. Oh, you did great. Awesome.
With a little southern twang to it, you know.
But yeah, right.
So tell the fashion business, you use that as a platform to reach other women, right?
So I use it as a platform because as the founder and CEO of a business, you know, in Jamaica and stuff, you're often called upon to address different groups, called upon to address women, called upon to address, you know, young people and young entrepreneurs in general. Mm-hmm. I've had several, you know, I've been blessed with some really great platforms that I share my story and people leave awe-inspired, you know. Sometimes we discount the value and the power of words, but they are the words. They say sticks and stones will break your bone, but words don't hurt. That's not true. Words have the power to hurt and they have the power to heal. Yep. And I've been trying to use my words as healing. And, you know, sometimes having been yourself being hurt and stuff, you have to be even more careful that you, because you've been, words have been used to hurt you. You have to be more alert and sensitive that you don't use your own words to hurt other people, but you use it to heal.
Amen. Now, how do you help? I've seen when I was reviewing things that you actually help other women, or, well, whoever. I suppose men could also do it, but I'm thinking you're reaching out mostly to the women and starting their own fashion business.
Right. So what I'm actually doing, I'm actually working on, as we speak, I'm working on a free ebook that is going to be teaching persons how to start a fashion business.
Amen.
I've had 10 years experience doing this, and I believe it is only fair that I pay it forward, because to whom much is given, much is expected. In the first book that I wrote, which is not the one we're focusing on, but one of the things, it's called 15 Hints Entrepreneurial Success, and one of the things I mentioned in that book is that we must be rivers and not reservoir. We shouldn't be storing up, you know, we should be paying it forward. It really is more blessed to give than to receive. And so that's what one of the things I want to do. And, you know, it's not just women that want to enter the area of fashion.
Right.
Of course, right. The men will want to do it too. And, you know, you have a lot of men, especially here in Jamaica. We have the Edna Manley School, you know, and so you have fashion designers there. You have in the universities and in the Caribbean, because the Caribbean is going really fashion crazy and getting really good at it these days. So,
okay. Amen. So, you're using your business, you're using the speaking platform of the business. Is that how you're helping others to live on purpose?
Right. So what I have also, in addition to growing the business, the actual business, the Patois Apparel, which is now available online, because I've had to pivot a bit and take it out of the brick and mortar. But one of the things I've been doing is to build my own personal brand, to do speaking engagements, to write book, to do my podcast, The Entrepreneurial You. And all of those things, they are platform that I get to live my purpose, life transformation through inspiration. Every time I'm about to do something, every single time I'm about to do something, if I question whether or not it aligns to that purpose, that mission that I have carved it down to a sentence. If it is that it's not a part of it and it doesn't connect, then I'm not interested in doing it, because I have to be purposeful in everything that I do.
Amen. Amen. So let's jump into the book.
Yes.
What motivated you to write this latest book? I mean, a 52-week devotional. I mean, how, you know, why write a book like that?
Well, for starters, you know, I recently, well, during that time, there were several titles for different books that were just coming at me. And like, I was having almost an overload of download of ideas, right?
Amen.
But I remember, yes, this particular Sunday, I was sitting in church. Before sitting, I had done led praise and worship in, you know, at my church. And then when I came back to the platform and I sat down, the minister, he began to talk about, you know, the sermon for the day and everything. And somehow, I don't know, but the idea to do a devotional called Sermon Notes hit me immediately, where every week I would take the different sermons and make notes of them, as it were. Yes, so it wouldn't necessarily be, and they're not necessarily the summary of the sermon itself,
right.
But it would be, I get the scriptures and I would go home, meditate, and put my own interpretation based on revelation that I got from it. So it was just there. And of course, I'm this type of person that when ideas come, I just act on them, and sometimes to my own detriment, you know. But
I know that feeling.
Right. So the ideas come and I act on them, and that's how it was birthed. And a lot of people have given ministers to read and stuff, and they've told me how much it has blessed them. There's a friend of mine who was actually going away or wanting to go away, and then when she turned to one of the she had it, bought it for a while and didn't read it, and then one particular season, when she was going through a period, she actually turned to one of the chapters and it spoke definitively to her. So I've been getting reviews that it has been blessing people, and it, you know, it blesses my heart to hear others speak of it that way.
Amen. Now, with this 52-week devotional, I mean, did it take you a whole year to actually write it, or did you have other notes? No, you actually took one a week and just put it all together for a whole year.
Right. So what I did, because I know I didn't, and you know, before I even tell you answer that question, I tell you the enemy fought me tooth and nail on this book. I lost the my content maybe about twice. I had to start over the book. You know, it was like, yeah, I had some real fight doing it. But what I did every single week, I would make sure that, so when I go to church on Sunday, I would find time in the week, within the week, and do that chapter. Or maybe sometimes I do two at a time. But most of the times, I would do one per week. Because if I waited and let it come, you know, like three, four, then it becomes a little bit cumbersome.
Yeah.
So I had to make sure I got it in that time. Yeah. So it was a pleasure doing it over that year. So every week I look forward to it. And even as I was doing it, it was ministering to me, you know.
Yeah.
Doing one per week.
Amen. So. Amen. Now, how have you tied that book in and your background and your business? How have you tied all that together in your speaking ministry?
Well, for sure. When I go, for example, and for one of the things that I love to talk about is purpose. Like, I am a purpose baby. You wake me up in the middle of the night, ask me for a word, invariably it's going to be purpose. And when you read chapter one, what's different about you? You know, and the scripture I mentioned is Exodus 12, verse 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Mm-hmm. Every one of us has this special mark, you know, marked by God so that we are protected. And it is that kind of message that I go out and I spread and I try to, you know, inspire the confidence, and especially women that I talk to. There are so many hurt and broken people. So every single time I you know, I get an opportunity, to take a platform, I use it to inspire and inspire that confidence, inspire who they are as children of the Most High God.
Amen.
You know, because sometimes we all need to be reminded of that.
Amen. That's right. And in this book, I just want to draw attention to it. And you have, you know, like points to ponder, right?
Mm-hmm.
With blank spaces where they could write down what they're thinking about, and that you include some scriptures for them to pray about and meditate on.
Right. So every week, of course, there is points to ponder, as you mentioned, Pastor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And those, you know, after writing, going through the scripture and getting a feel and a sense of revelation of what it's about, then I go into contemplation how, you know, and it's really introspective, because one of the things, if you ask if it's personal, yes, it's very personal. It is meant for everybody who, you know, who will do a devotional and who wants to get closer to God. But as I was writing it, I allowed myself to be vulnerable, allowed myself to really search me, put the searchlight on me. So those points to ponder were really points that I was actually, questions that I'm actually asking myself as I'm asking it to my readers. And after that, I have a prayer. And it was a genuine prayer. Like, for example, in week one, what's different about you, right? So the points to ponder were, am I confident of who I am as a child of God? Do I make effort to remember God's goodness in my life? You know, sometimes we go through things and God take us through things, and we can become very ungrateful sometimes. Point three, how easily do I share what God has done for me with others? Am I trying to hide the fact that I'm a child of the King?
Yeah.
Or am I, you know, gladly sharing others and looking for ways to touch other people so that they too can experience the joy and the peace that comes with being a child of God? And then I go into a prayer, and it says, this particular one says, I know I'm called to be different. You have marked me up and set me apart for your glory. In fact, you have crowned me with glory and honor. Let everything I do and say reflect this truth. Help me to shine brightly for you. Most of all, enable me to accept your grace, love, and mercy, and to pass it on to everyone I meet. Let your will be done in my life. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Amen. Glory to God. And every chapter has something like that at the end.
Right, right. Amen. And even further that, after that prayer, because it's a weekly devotional, right?
Amen.
So it doesn't stop at that day. So it says, Lord, in my reflection this week, you have revealed the following things to me. Please help me to address anything that needs changing the way I should. And so, again, a deeper level of introspection, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What are some of the things that coming out of that, that, you know, would have been surfaced? Like you're doing a brainstorming, you're doing a self-assessment.
Yeah.
What are some of the things? And so you, you ask the Lord to reflect, you know, to shine that light on you, that searchlight, so that the things can be revealed. Because sometimes we think that we're okay. I remember saying to somebody at church, addressing a prayer and fasting once at church, and I was saying to the group there that, you know, all of, sometimes in your Christian journey, you're going through and you recognize that, oh, you know, you feel so whole and you feel like everything is great and you're all that in a bag of chips. And then something happens and you and it reveals that there is something that needs to be addressed in your life, something that needs changing. And so we all must go through that process of assessment and allowing that conviction of the Holy Spirit to take place.
Amen. Now, are all of your books, including the 52-week devotional for quiet meditation, are all of your books available on Amazon?
They're all available on Amazon, and as well as on my website,
HennikaWatts.com. Yeah, I've seen them through your website. That's right. I just want to know if, so our listeners would know they could get them on Amazon. I'm going to put links to all her books, all three, on in the show notes, so they'll be available to our listeners. They can just click on the link.